The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland in the house. How you doing, Kelly? How you doing, man? You good?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just peachy.
Peachy?
Just peachy, brother.
A lot of NFL, a lot of NBA on the show today.
That's right.
Soccer, baseball, math. In fact, our last goodbye to the Masters, everybody. Today on the show, John Legesa will join us. John Legesa to talk Major League Baseball with us, go through some of the games on the slate today. A couple Levy bets as well for that crazy bastard, John Legesa. Math, dead heat math. With Elihu Foistel, author of the great gambling book, Conquering Risk. This music changes the tone of everything. He'll talk dead heat math with us. We'll also go NBA with RotoWire's Nick Whalen. Look at the play-in games. Kelly has some bets as well tonight. As the Timberwolves-Lakers line gets wider and wider. Exquisite.
This is why I couldn't do golf. You're doing a great job.
Exquisite. I don't know. Exquisite.
Keep talking, and yeah. I just be like, and whammy! John Rahm off the tee!
Ball card, Champions League plays, and Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, round things out. Hopefully anything but Fezzik talk today. That's the show. That's what we're doing. And the NFL draft, Mel Kiper. Okay, kill the music now. Mel Kiper with his mock draft 4.0. By the way, you know, Lombardi told me once upon a time that Jim Nance, at his home at Pebble Beach, when you go into his driveway, apparently Lombardi and Nance are tight, that music plays.
I've heard this before, too.
That music actually blares over his driveway at Pebble Beach.
That's so awesome.
You're like, Jim, it's August. I don't want to be, what are you doing here? You're like, hello, friend.
That's awesome. It's not like a comparable story, but Vince Carter's driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I was in his driveway. It's kind of like a roundabout driveway where every square, like, instead of like a tile, is a basketball that he has like framed.
Oh, you told me this before.
It's
yeah.
Crazy looking.
Like
it's awesome.
You can see it through glass on
right,
the surface?
Yeah, through plexiglass or whatever. You can see a ball's like framed there. It's awesome.
Wow. That'll be a pain when he moves.
Right, that was like my first thought. I was like, how do you move this?
Well, let's start with, because we do want to get to Kiper's 4.0 and the move atop the NFL draft, number one pick market yet again. We'll get into that. But let's start with the NBA because I got playing fever, baby.
Let's go.
I got playing fever. So 7-8 games tonight, beginning with the Eastern Conference 7-8 game. And remember, the winner becomes the 7th seed. So Eastern Conference game between the Hawks and the Heat, the winner will play the second-seeded Boston Celtics in a best-of-seven first-round series. And the winner of the T-Wolves-Lakers 7-8 game in the Western Conference, which follows that, both games on TNT, will play the Memphis Grizzlies in a best-of-seven series. By the way, what's your hypothetical Lakers-Grizzlies series price? Let's do this again.
Lakers-Grizzlies series price. Grizzlies minus 180.
I don't think it'll be that high. No chance it'll be that high.
I hope it's that high.
Yeah.
I'll be betting the Lakers.
Well, let's start with the first of these games.
Yeah.
And let's begin with
the ultimate coin flip.
The ultimate coin flip. That's right. Though the line isn't a coin flip, right? The Heat are favored by 5.5. And if you're giving the Celtics truth serum, they probably want to play the Hawks, not the Heat.
Oh, hell yeah.
They don't want to face Jimmy Buckets in a playoff series. Whoever does. Let me start with this question. Could both of these games be complete runouts today? Complete blowouts and absolute non-entertainment, unless you're betting on them?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think the Lakers Timberwolves could be. I hope it is because I have Lakers bets.
What'd you get the Lakers number? Because the Lakers now, this is a great sort of thing of gambling strategy followed by gambling follow through.
Yep.
Yesterday I came on the show and I said I'm gonna wait for the Lakers line to be bet up, and then I'm gonna take the T-Wolves. So part one of that is working out. The Lakers line is bet up. It's 8.5. What was it yesterday? 6?
Yeah, I laid 6 and I laid 7 with the Lakers. And Gil, I don't think there's any reason to like pull the trigger yet.
No, it's just going to keep going in one direction.
I've had a couple people ask me about that. They said they're kind of looking towards the Timberwolves tonight. I'm like, it's going to hit. Like yesterday they were asking me. I'm like, it's going to hit 8, 8.5.
I think it'll even go higher.
I think it hits 9 probably.
But then the question becomes, okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, you got that part right. are you really going to pull the trigger on the Timberwolves? I guess we're starting with the Western Conference game. Which I don't know, man, because if you look at, I mean, look, for those who missed it, again, Rudy Gobert punching Ryan Anderson in the final Timberwolves game of the season against the Pelicans. Did you see that Woj tweet, by the way? We got to pull up that Woj tweet about this. But he punched his teammate, and so he has been suspended for this game. And Rudy Gobert in the three games versus the Lakers this year, of which the T-Wolves won twice, Kelly. Rudy Gobert's stats in those games, pretty darn good. 22-14, 22 points, 14 boards in their 110-102 win over the Lakers. But that's way back October 28th. But 22-14 that night. Oh, pardon me. Let me go one further back. I'm sorry. 22-21. 22 points, 21 boards back in October when they beat the Lakers. That game was at Minnesota. Then 22-14, 22 points, 14 boards in their win at LA in early March. And then he had 14-11 in their loss in late March at Minnesota. By the way, Jaden McDaniels, who punched a wall and will not only not play in this game, but is done for the season, he had a plus 17 and four blocks in the first game. He also had a 15-5, 15 points, five boards in the third game. Naz Reid in between had a 15-8. None of these guys are playing.
Yeah, no. They're going to be extremely thin up front. I think LeBron and Anthony Davis are basically going to be able to do whatever they want down there. Defensively, without Jaden McDaniels and Rudy Gobert this year, this team allows 9 points more in points per 100 possessions. Offensively, they get worse by about 6 points. McDaniels is a huge loss. He's one of the bigger, best perimeter defenders in the league, or one of the better ones at least. That's going to be really tough with LeBron. I mean, all these directly correlate, right? Gil, it's that McDaniels is the guy you put on LeBron. Gobert's the guy you put on Anthony Davis. Naz Reid's not in this game. You're extremely thin. I think Anthony Davis is absolutely going to feast in this one. And this is where I do give a little bit of the handicap to the, you know, the veteran star player status of, like, I think LeBron and AD know this is the game to go out and win. You're not, like, you lose this game, your playoff hopes get a lot more dicey. Lock this up now. Go play Memphis, where I think they also match up pretty well.
I think they feel pretty good about that matchup.
Yeah, and have a chance to win that. So I'm pretty high on the Lakers tonight. I will say, to your point about this number keep running, I would not bet it now.
Nope.
I would not be laying 8.5 with the Lakers. Just look live. Look live. Like, that's always what I do anyways. I might have a pregame position, but I'm still looking to get in live on the Lakers side here tonight as well.
All right, what are your bets ultimately then?
So I laid 6 and laid 7 with the Lakers.
Nothing in the first game?
Nothing in the first game, but I will hit on that one with the Heat and Hawks. So the last time, JVT does a great job with this stuff, really tracking the kind of where the lines are for these games every time they meet up. Last time these two played in Miami, which was not that long ago, the Heat were a 2.5-point favorite. So this line goes from 2.5 to 5, really without much changing except for little pieces of health on the Miami side. So you're getting spread value with Atlanta here. It's just, Gil, I don't know if I'm really willing to go up against Eric Spoelstra in this defense, in this kind of situation. And look, that's going to be brought up a lot with the Miami Heat throughout the playoffs, right? That's why you get scared, their defense and their coaching. And, man, Atlanta has just been the least consistent team basically in the NBA all year. I would entertain an Atlanta bet in this game if I got a live opportunity, but I'm not taking 5 for you.
This really is, for those who listened to Primetime Action for a couple years with Kelly, Matt and I, Matt Brown and I, this is the Kelly Bidlin Bowl, the Hawks and the Heat. These are the two teams that you can't ever quit.
Well, I had a big ticket on the Hawks last year and a big ticket on the Heat the year before that, or 2 years.
So I don't. My strategy of betting the T-Wolves at a very high number, or getting as many points as possible, I have not pulled the trigger on it yet. I don't know if I'll have the onions to do it by game time. I really don't.
Yeah.
By the way, here's the Woj tweet I was referring to. The Timberwolves had to listen to this tweet. This tweet goes in three different directions. The Timberwolves had to suspend Gobert for throwing a punch, but accepted that it was a shot to the chest with no intent to injure Kyle Anderson, and understood that Anderson called Gobert a B word repeatedly on a night Gobert was playing hurt. That's a great tweet. So basically they're like, sorry, buddy, I know your punch was terrible And I know he called you those names, but we got to suspend you for a game.
It wasn't even the worst punch. Like, it's Jade McDaniel. It's always the – it's when I'm sitting on my couch every Sunday and an NFL scuffle breaks out where the guy gets his helmet ripped off and then goes and swings at the guy who's wearing a helmet. It's like, how many times do we got to do this? Like, how many fights does a football player get in from age 10 to age 30, and they're still swinging at guys wearing metal helmets?
Yeah.
Jaden McDaniels goes and swings at a wall. Well, who do you think's going to win that one, Jaden?
Dude, that's just the stupidest thing ever. and Gobert had said Kyle Anderson is kind of aggressive with him a lot with his talk, but it's okay. It's all at a level. It wasn't okay at that moment. And so you have this situation now. For those who are wondering, oh, my God, that's really brave of the T-Wolves, you know, to suspend Gobert. Keep in mind, once again, this is not elimination. It is not an elimination game tonight. The team that wins does move on and become the seventh seed, but the team that loses will take on the winner of tomorrow night's 9-10 games on Friday. That is the single elimination game, the winner of which will be the eighth seed. You don't have any plays on tomorrow's games yet, do you? We'll get in those tomorrow. But
No, I won't. I would lean Pelicans, but I'm not going to play that at least pregame. And then same thing, lean Raptors, but nothing. I'm not going to have anything pregame.
Yeah, those aren't as fun. Western Conference game's pretty good. We'll come back. John Legesa will talk baseball with us. He's got a couple bets that he's already made. I think both American League wagers. We'll get to those, plus EV bets. How he feels about the baseball landscape. We'll go through other games that he's not playing, how he feels about those prices. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. By the way, one tennis play that is yet to begin in Monte Carlo. You ever been to Monte Carlo, Kelly, in all your travels?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's a bucket
list. You want to go? You paying?
Let's go. Am I paying? Oh, geez. He got that in right before I said, let's go. I didn't mean it.
It is one of those destinations I would love to go to.
Absolutely.
It is near the top of my list.
We're in clay court season. And I have one play left here this morning. I'm on Daniel Evans against Ilya Ivashka. You know Ilya Ivashka, don't you?
Yeah. You took the hashtag boring name over the hashtag exciting name.
Sorry about that.
Dan Evans.
Should really do a segment where Kelly Bidlin pronounces all of the tennis plays.
See, you know what I've told you before? The top end people I'm pretty good with.
And now Kelly Bidlin. I just want to hear you say, like, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova.
That was a tough one. That was a tough one. You got to remember, for years though, I had to write out phonetically highlights for these things for TV anchors.
Yes.
That I'm sorry, don't know as much tennis as you. So it would be like, let me check 18 YouTube channels to make sure I have this name right, and then try to have one of my anchors read it.
Daniel Evans +115, your tennis play yet to take off this morning. All the picks, by the way, at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers only. Tennis picks and everybody's picks here at the network. Kelly's basketball. All hosts and guests, show by show. Speaking of guests, ladies and gentlemen, he now plies his trade for Rob Pozzola's Hammer Network, the Hammer Betting Network. It's our buddy John Legesa, MLB and NFL writer, also for The Athletic. How you doing, Johnny?
Gil, I missed you, man. What's up? I hope you're having a happy holiday.
You too. You are. It's like you're in.
Thanks, man.
It's like you're in Steinbrenner's chair in the Yankees office.
Hey, I made it into the third dimension, pal. You know, I'm moving up in the world. When you hang out with Rob P, you know, those things going to happen, right?
We love Rob. All right, so let's just start, before we get to your plays here, let's start with the basic landscape of what you've seen in roughly 10 games of baseball from a betting perspective. What were your thoughts, you know, your speculative thoughts heading in? What has manifested and what has surprised you?
Well, right, first things first, it's a marathon and not a sprint. And though I think I may have won round one on scoring, there's a lot of fight left to go. And what I mean in particular was, you know, doing the using the model, I should say, to bet, right? You and I have spoken about this. Model betting is very particular, especially with baseball. You have to almost have a volume dial for offense, right? Offense is not static in baseball. It's dynamic. It's, you know, vulnerable to weather and parks and players and pitchers and things. So I kind of came into the season with my volume a little bit higher than last year. Not quite cranked up to 12 from 2019. But I was anticipating, I don't want to say I was on the four with the homers. We're seeing more home runs maybe than I thought. But I was on top of the scoring, expecting a higher batting average on balls in play that I thought would punish kind of contact pitchers. So that's where I've been, is chasing after contact pitchers, looking for F5 team totals or team totals, generally going over. The books have been a bit slow. I think their volume is a bit lower, looking for cold weather, which also we really haven't gotten. So right now, I think it's offense one, pitching zero right now.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple games today that you did not end up with plays on here. Speaking of your Yankees, lifelong Yankees fan, plucked from the bleachers at Yankee Stadium, Mr. Legesa.
Oh, yeah.
Gerrit Cole off to a spectacular start at the Guardians, where the Yankees are, well, pretty sizable favorites. We're showing minus 160. I'm seeing it as high as minus 175 in some other spots. Always shop around. You think this is somewhat accurately priced, I would imagine?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually funny you mentioned this. I have this in my last Athletic article. It's not just fantasy. We're kind of doing a little bit of everything. And, you know, it was titled, the little subset was, I'm betting favorites now. And it's like, I have not been abducted. I'm betting favorites, but I am still looking for those positive odds that we love so much. So though I've kind of moved from being an underdog bettor to a favorite bettor, the reason I'm saying this, Gil, I believe that's where the value is right now. Granted, it's not on these Yankees. We're going to mention another one where it is. And I think the value has gone to the run lines on favorites. And we're seeing a pretty large disparity between really good teams, really bad teams. And that kind of gets exposed over 9 innings, especially now early in the year. Bad teams, once they fall behind, tend to really throw their worst pitchers at you. They're not trying to burn up their better arms and bring in more L's. So we've seen a lot of covers going on. The Rays is a perfect example.
Well, let's talk about the Rays. So they finally play a Major League Baseball team yesterday, and they eke out a 1-0 win over the Red Sox. Their 10th win to start the season, 10th win in a row, first 10-0 team in Major League Baseball since the 87 Brewers. They are installed, love that word, as a minus 148 favorite here against the Red Sox. You're not touching this one today?
No, I'm off it today. I mean, eventually that's going to run out. Not that I really bet these kind of subjective narratives. I kind of run the model. Baseball offers us so many opportunities, feel that I really feel we should be selective. It's been more of a price thing. I love Sugar Shane McClanahan. He's on my Cy Young futures ticket that I put out. So I do think the Rays get it done. It's just unbelievable. We think of them as a, you know, analytically driven pitching organization, rightfully so. They're very good. It's been the hitting that they have kind of struggled to develop. They've been kind of a contact team this year, really going off the chart. I mean, they're first in almost everything. Runs, homers, a 366 team OBP, a 930 team OPS. But it's on the back of the disciplinary statistics. And I think, right, when we think about analytics, that's generally where these things manifest. Discipline, not chasing, not striking out. Usually the leading indicator, let's call it, for team production. We're seeing that just pouring out of their nose right now. Tampa Bay, 17% team K, 10.5 team walk, single-digit swing and strike, top 5 chase rate, only 4 ground ball double plays. I mean, they're doing it all. 397 team WOBA, just really killing it. And they're missing Glasnow, and they're missing Jose Siri, who really looked excellent flying out of the box. So it's wheels up for the Rays. I think those future prices are only going to go in one direction.
By the way, minus 180. I misspoke on the price for tonight's game on the Tampa Bay.
Too heavy for me.
Too heavy. What did you end up playing, John? What are your two plays?
Okay, well, one of them is the Yankees, but it's not the Yankee game. I was a little, again, I'm early in the season. I'm just trying to maximize on price. Again, I have very deep pockets and very short arms, right? So we want to target Hunter Gaddis on the Cleveland Guardians. Granted, he had a decent start last time out. He went 6, gave up 0, but it was against Oakland. And last I checked, they're not very good. 18 innings on the career for Gaddis. The ERA north of 10, 1-6 whip. OPS north of 1,300. That's not going to play. But, of course, the 5.75 Sierra, right? Those underlying statistics are there. 17% barrel allowed. He's particularly struggled spotting the fastball to lefties. 320 career BA, 800 slug. And that fastball bin is coming in about 70% between fastball and cutter. So I want to go to my Paisan Anthony Rizzo against righties so far this year, just doing what he does, 350 BA, 980 OPS, a homer and two doubles. Cleveland also, something I might want to talk about, maybe another time we'll have more time. When we look at park data, I've been very careful to not include the pre-humidor data. I feel like we've changed a constant, and that's what I'm looking at. Since the inception of the universal humidor, Cleveland playing up to lefties, top five in home run to fly ball rate going back to the humidor. So give me Rizzo over 1.5 total bases. That's a plus 120. Also, remember, he's batting third. Plate appearances are the currency in which we deal when prop betting. And he's also on the road. So regardless of being a favorite, we're going to get that ninth frame. I really love the Rizzo play here. But this one is probably going to move by the time we get the first pitch. I wouldn't be surprised if we lose 25 cents.
All right. Over 1.5 total bases, Anthony Rizzo. And then, as great as the Rays have been, the Athletics, the worst record in Major League Baseball, not 0-10, but 2-8 anyway, only have played at 28 runs. They're going to get up against, I should say, the always feisty Baltimore Orioles. You have a play in this.
Yeah, this is goes to speak to the value that I had mentioned. Oakland can be interesting to bet on as far as first five team totals, maybe as an F5 team. But again, baseball, the longer the sample, the better the team is going to rise to the top, right? The cream will rise. They're just beaten on all three phases. So it's Grayson Rodriguez. First time out, he faced a very tough Texas team, went five, gave up two, one walk, five Ks. The fastball's excellent, 97 miles an hour, and all the shape diagnostics and stuff that you roll with me, really top of the line. Good enough to maintain that 30% whiff rate. I think that's most important. He threw the slider 19 times, had a 50% whiff on that also. Oakland team offense terrible. Those elephants balancing on beach balls. 198 team BA, 595 team OPS, bottom three hard hit rate. And then again, the full game is where I think we find the value, getting the plus odds on the run line. Oakland Penn, 5 ERA on the year, 1.5 ERA, a 1% K-minus walk. That's not going to do it. Give me Baltimore, full game run line, cover the 1.5. Another plus 120. This one shouldn't be that close. We have a pretty wide gap as far as I see it. So I like the Orange Birds in this one.
John, appreciate it. Always great seeing you, man. Thank you.
Mr. Man.
You too. John Legace, everybody. That's on Twitter at John. That's John with an H. Legesa, Lagheza, if you want to do it phonetically. You like doing things phonetically, don't you, Kelly?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I like that last bit, too. You know why?
Why?
Because of Mountcastle!
official ball player of primetime action.
Third home run last night of the year?
Ryan Mountcastle. Every time you look up, Mountcastle's doing something.
Last night.
On the other side, we promised this yesterday. A lot of people up in arms about dead heat math, specifically on their Scheffler top tens. Elihu Foistel joins us to give us the math, and I challenge him next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the upcoming NFL draft. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN expert's leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I have often, I think when sort of introing Roxy Roxborough on this show, I've often used the analogy of Woody Allen's Annie Hall, a scene in that 1975 motion picture where Woody Allen and his neuroses was overhearing, was eavesdropping on a conversation taking place in a movie ticket line. And he was getting so annoyed by the opinions that were being shared that he pulled, and it was about media and the effects of media on society, and he pulled from behind a curtain Marshall McLuhan, who's like this Canadian expert on media, from behind the curtain, and he got Marshall McLuhan to tell the people who were arguing how, or one of the people that was arguing, how ridiculous what he was saying. You know nothing of my work. And then Woody Allen would turn to the camera and say, if only life were like this. Right. And so I said that about Roxy. I also say that about our next guest, who is honestly, I've probably learned more about sports betting from this person than anyone on earth. And I think I speak for many in saying that. You may have known him in different sort of incarnations. My first sort of interaction with, not interaction, but my first real, you know, understanding of him was when I used to read the Pinnacle newsletter so many years ago. He would be the ghostwriter for a lot of Simon Noble newsletters. For those who followed SBR so many years, Justin Seven was his handle, and he would educate so many people on so many things related to sports betting. also really adjudicated a bunch of stuff, a bunch of real disputes between books and bettors while there as well. He's the author, for others, they know him as an author, of Conquering Risk, Attacking Wall Street in Vegas, which is a book that is on my shelf in San Francisco. I've had over a decade and used to pore over, just stare at it and the charts that he had in the back of that. Ladies and gentlemen, he's Elihu Feustel, and he joins us right now, and he's working on a new book, and he's going to help us with some dead heat math. How you doing, Elihu?
Hey, Gil, thanks for having me.
Thank you for making the time. Really appreciate it. Before we get into what we want to talk about, what is the book generally that you're working on, just to sort of whet people's appetite for that?
Problems that winning bettors have. So the three areas it's focusing on is, how do you price lots of things real fast? How do you bet more responsibly? There's some new stuff on risk management. And how do you preserve accounts so that you can get U.S. books longer before they kick you out?
That's a beautiful thing. When is the expected release date or publication date of this? Do you have any idea?
I hope in fall. We'll see.
In the fall. Is there a working title?
There are several of them, and I'm trying to decide, do you want boring or do you want something interesting?
Okay.
So the boring one, which would be probably the accurate one,
searching for the boring. That's okay. We'll look for your book. We'll look for your book in the fall, Elihu. Elihu Feustel again, yeah. A book that everybody in sports betting ought to anticipate. Let's get to the matter at hand, because I know your time is limited. And this came up, Elihu, and I'm so glad to have you on speed dial, because when something like this happens, I'm like, who could I ask that would know better than me? And this has to do with dead heat rules. And the reason this came up is because in the Masters, a lot of people had Scottie Scheffler, top 10. He ends up tying for 10th place with three other golfers. And there was a number of examples that were shown to me and others on Twitter where people really, like, they get it if they have a first-round leader bet, Elihu, that ties with three other people. It's a long-shot bet. They get that they should get a fraction of that bet in winnings. But when it comes to these T10s and T5s, and some people had parlays involving them, it just is sort of counterintuitive to the bettor that not only will they not make money in some cases, they'll lose some. Can you explain why you believe the math is correct?
Well, let's look at a simpler problem than the one you talked about. Let's say you have a bet on who's going to finish first place, and you have a dead heat. You have one that is a huge favorite, 100-to-1 favorite, that ties for first. And you have one that's a 100-to-1 underdog that ties for first. Now, if you bet the 100-to-1 underdog, you'd expect to win something, and then you would. So in a dead heat, if you have one winning spot, you have two winning entries. Each wager, you would treat half as a win and half as a loss. So if you bet a dollar to win $100, you'd win $50 on one wager, and you'd lose a dollar on the other. You'd make about $49. If you bet $100 to win $1, you'd win 50 cents and lose $50. So it makes sense that you have this huge favorite that did worse than expected, it didn't win, that you'll lose money. So then when you go to one that's more complicated, if you have five people vying for one spot, they have a five-way tie for 10th place, then you're going to treat each of those wagers as though a fifth of it won and four-fifths of lost. So if you were getting under plus 400, you're probably going to lose money on that wager. And I know it's counterintuitive, you know, especially if you have a plus 300 dog, you end up losing money when the wager partially won. But, you know, it's just how the math works out. And sports betting is an exercise in mathematics.
It is an exercise in mathematics. You even would agree, though, as mathematical as you are, that you understand why bettors are sort of put off by this, like, because it doesn't, unless you're super into the math, it doesn't really make sense. Because let me give you an example. So let's say, let's take a really ridiculous one. Let's say you bet 10 golfers to be top 10, and they all ended up tied. Let's say you bet $1,000 on each at plus 100, and they all ended up tied in the top 10. Well, no, that's not a good, because they'd be top. They'd be all tied at top. Well, let's say you bet $1,000. I mean, I'm trying to think what's a great example of this. But essentially, what I'm getting at is that you end up losing money on something that makes zero sense as to you know, it's completely counterintuitive. So here's a great example. Let's say you have 10, you bet 10 players at plus 100, okay? 10 players at plus 100. And I know it's unrealistic, but let's just roll with that. And they all end up, you know, equal top 10 guys. What would you end?
They all end up dead heat for 10th place.
Dead heat for 10th place, right? And you bet 10 guys.
Right.
$100 at plus 100. So stake plus winnings, right, divided by the number of players minus stake, that ends up being 200 divided by 10. That's $20 divided by, every one of those bets would lose $80. So you'd lose $800 on that?
So look at it a different way. If you bet 10 players at, you know, even money to make the top 10, an average result will be half of them make the top 10. When you have a 10-way tie, you say effectively only one out of your 10 players made it instead of five. So you'd expect to lose a lot of money on that. At least I would.
Okay.
What is the dead heat result compared to an average result? And if you have lots of ties in a dead heat, then your bet is doing worse than the average result for that bet.
And the other part of it is the more money you happen to bet on it, the more you would lose as well. And that makes sense to you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Elihu, this is why we have you on speed dial, just to, because there's a lot of people who are like, there's no possible way, the books are free rolling us, but you're saying, nope, it actually is the correct math. Okay. All right.
Yeah, then, I mean, you can check the math, check the rules, but it's, you know, if you had a different result, you'd have situations where books automatically lose in a dead heat. And, you know, the fundamental idea of rules is that on average, you're going to have a winner and a loser. And if you have something where you have a situation where there are no winners, where there are, you're paying out more than you should, there's a problem. And if you look at the dead heat, it works out.
Yeah. And their argument would be if there were 17 people tied at 10, you shouldn't expect us to pay out all 17. Do you agree with this? Because some books do have dead heat rules in these cases and some don't. I'll leave you with this. Do you agree that in the cases of the ones that do apply dead heat rules to this, that they could do a better job in posting that stipulation to more novice bettors? Because this does kind of surprise people.
I guess I'm just not surprised by it. I mean, if you have a 17-way dead heat, you have a 1/17th of a win. So now some books give out charity. Some books give out free bets. Some, you know, they have all kinds of promotions and rules, but I wouldn't expect that to be the norm. And if you are in a dead heat, you know, if you're betting any real money, you should probably understand the rules for it.
Well, that part for sure, if you're betting some real money. Elihu, I know you got to run. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to your book. We'll talk before then.
Thank you, Gil. You have a good one.
You too. Elihu Foistel, everybody. Professional bettor. You can follow him on Twitter at D_Foistel. You know how you spell that, Kelly? F-E-U-S-T-E-L.
There you go.
Smartest man in sports betting. Now, I don't know if that did anything to quell the people who hate the dead heat rule, but trust me when I say if it's okay by him, it ought to be okay by you. We'll come back. NFL draft. Mel Kiper has a new mock draft 4.0 and movement atop the draft of the number one pick. We'll look into it. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game, and if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt into the one-game parlay insurance promotion to receive up to $25 back in bonus bets if your parlay with four legs or more loses by just one leg. Only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Teasers and parlays. From the Love Zone to doing the numbers game. intro over the Masters background music. There's nothing Gil's voice can't do. Just had a little fun with the Masters music. Thank you, Teasers and Parlays. J-Rod, I'd like to be watching Novak at Monte Carlo having a croquette and a glass of wine. Amazing views.
That sounds great.
Oh, it does sound great.
Gil's paying. We're going.
apparently I agreed to it earlier. Jesse,
you got the PJ on standby. Come on.
The PJ?
The PJ. Yeah, yeah, the private jet.
Oh, the PJ.
Remember, sorry, I just did it to you like Matt Brown did it to me one day where he just slid it into conversation. Like, I'm like, oh, am I supposed to know what that is?
That was you two when you would talk golf and you'd be like, EVR, you have some EVR in this tournament? I'd be like, you guys think Eric Van Rooyen is that popular that you can call him EVR?
Yeah,
Jesse Welch, I'm walking around my gas station with an air of prestige while listening to that intro by you, Gil. Undoubtedly exquisite, friends. Rich Copro, Gil, yesterday your imitation of Hootie Johnson's disdain for matzo ball soup cracked me up. Feel free to work that into the show more often. Oh, I will. Why so serious? The only place you should be making placement bets is at MGM. You pay a small tax for no dead heat, but it is worth it. Ties so often come into play. That's a very widely held golf betting opinion. But as we mentioned yesterday, and Why So Serious does allude to it, you will have different odds in some cases. Make sure it's worth doing it that way. But that's a great point about BetMGM.
Yeah, the one I'll throw out with that, Gil, is I completely agree, and I think there's a lot of people, if you'd rather just not worry about it, you can just do that,
yeah.
and that's fine.
And that's a very valid standpoint to have.
Right, yeah. I understand why this stuff drives you crazy. I've been in this same situation plenty of times with golf betting. I think the problem is, though, if you're doing this, you've got to be able to compare the odds between dead heat and non-dead heated. And, like, I'll throw out another book, Gil, of, like, Points Bet probably has some of the better finishing position prices out there. And it's, like, sometimes there's, like, a dollar difference between the two.
What happens if all those guys tied for ninth?
What do you mean?
Like, does it dead heat? If they're T10 and they all tie for ninth, they all get paid out?
All get dead heated.
All get dead heated.
Yes. Everybody. If they all tie for ninth and you have a top 10 bet, everybody who tied for ninth gets dead heated.
They get dead heated as well. So wait a minute. How far does that go down, though? What if you have 10 and they all tie for first?
Then it's 10 spots.
And you have top 10s.
Yeah, it's all...
All get
no,
dead
no,
heated?
No. I think if they all tied for first...
That's different.
That should be different because you'd fit inside the 10.
My head is exploding. Eddie Vegan Runner. Me following along on the segment, he has a gif of Homer Simpson, you know, just going nuts. We tried. The audio wasn't great for a kind of drill set.
Yeah.
We tried, though. Nathan Mallinson.
We had a better setup that crapped out of us in the last minute.
Sorry about that, guys. We tried. Gil and Elihu, as a longtime horse racing bettor, I think the dead heat rule is applied to horse racing wins places is a great example of why the rule is needed to avoid absurdities, particularly regarding paramutual pools. Just Doug, thanks. Just because the numbers are correct... I love this kind of tweet. Just because the numbers are correct has nothing to do with my understanding of losing a winning bet. It's a chalkboard bandit equation. You familiar with chalkboard bandit equations, Kelly?
No. Is that like Studio Gangster?
I don't know. Bainbridge DeWeese. I get the dead heat math with several tied at 10. Curious what happens. Always asking the same thing. Curious what happens if there are 10 guys tied for ninth. Does that still go dead heat? Since the book would say we should only have to pay the first two of those. Yeah, Kelly already answered that. Rick Ollier, hey, Kelly, I have a suggestion. Can we get that horn sound every time Gil mentions that math will be a part of the show? You know, the horn from the clubs? Let's ride. I think he means from the Masters, right? From the club? Horn from the club? I guess from Augusta. Chris Heath, after spending countless nights arguing with 10 nickels. Thank you. Customer service. I just read the terms and conditions to understand rainout payouts in MLB and withdrawals in WTA and ATP in golf. Got to know the rules. And on with the tweets. We appreciate it. Let's talk NFL draft for a second here.
Real quick, though, of bets that we don't understand. I understand that people having issues with dead heats out there. This is why I don't bet on horses very often is because paramutuals will drive me insane.
Bro.
Like, if you're a sports bettor and you bet into paramutuals, your mind gets blown. Where I'm like, wait, I'm putting money down and I don't even know what my odds are yet?
It's like Wishnev asking me when we go to the Derby up to, you know, upstairs the ballroom. Hey, how much do we win if this horse wins? I go, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
He goes, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And then also, like, the math, like, if you, our currency is so much different. You bet $2 up there, all of a sudden, sometimes you have these massive payouts. It's like, what did I just do? I don't even understand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different
world.
The
box of five with the seven.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Exactly what you're saying. Okay, so Mel Kiper mock draft 4.0. You were saying off air you feel like he's just given up.
He went two rounds deep, man. We could take the mock draft. Yeah, he went two rounds deep, but look at the top of the draft. It's just now he's like wave the white flag. I'm not gonna figure out how many of these quarterbacks or where these quarterbacks are going. Here's four spots, here's four quarterbacks. Bang, 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 bang.
What Kelly's referring to is that he went Bryce Young first, and he readily admits, I had Stroud. I think it was going to be Stroud. Quick error there, guys. Nicely done. And then he's like, but I'm hearing it's going to be Young now, so I'll just make Young number one. That was kind of what Mel Kiper was saying. He then has C.J. Stroud going to the Texans at two, which, you know, a lot of people sort of now are like, I don't know. If the Texans don't really love Stroud, do they go elsewhere? Not Mel Kiper. He's like, Stroud will go too. Then he's got to trade Titans jumping eight spots to take Levis third. No, pardon me, Anthony Richardson third. And then he's got the Colts taking Levis fourth. He does have the first defensive player being Jalen Carter to the Seahawks at five. A lot of people saying the Seahawks don't really like Jalen Carter, but that's where he's got Jalen Carter going. So that trumps Will Anderson as the first defensive player. He's got Will Anderson going sixth to the Lions. The first corner he's got is going to the Raiders at seven, Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois. First offensive tackle is at nine. We'll skip Nolan Smith. Darnell Wright going to the Bears after they made the trade with the Panthers. And so that's the highlight of his top 10 right there.
So those are the two big ones, though. I mean, Darnell Wright, Nolan Smith, they haven't seen in many top 10s in mock drafts yet. And that is, I mean, Darnell Wright, I'll pull up the odds right now, but that is not the offensive lineman that you have seen going first.
No.
It has been Skoronski.
Who he has going
10.
Yeah, 10. But now his first wide receiver is also Jaxon Smith-Njigba at 12 to the Texans. Just to sort of like highlight some possible props.
Yeah,
Dalton Kincaid, first tight end, going to the Packers at 15.
That Darnell Wright is 12-1 to be the first offensive lineman taken at DraftKings. Ooh. Paris Johnson is the favorite. He's not even in his top 10 there. It's not even at the, he's not even the first top, two. He's minus 135, kid out of Ohio State.
But do we trust in Kiper? I mean, I don't anymore.
I don't know. I don't think that the top of the board is going to look like this. I don't think that is true. And if we look at, I just want to go back to how these odds keep moving on this first overall pick.
Let's go to that.
And this is in a month's time, how we've gone back to the favorite on Bryce Young, but how this roller coaster ride.
Bryce Young is minus 250 now at DraftKings.
250.
CJ Stroud is plus 180. Now, this started with that Mortensen, when the ESPN was doing the roundtable with Mortensen and McShay and Kiper, and Mortensen was like, you guys are going to have to redo your mock drafts. You know, it's going to be Bryce Young. And then Mel Kiper's like, well, you're saying they made their decision. And then Mortensen was like, I never said they made their decision. And so it started from there, and no one really picked up the second part of that exchange. So Bryce Young, and this is getting groundswell. And what Kiper said in his little blurb here is, you know, I went with the whole narrative of Frank Reich doesn't like anything but a prototypical type quarterback, physical attributes. Bryce Young does not fit that. And now I'm hearing the front office buzz that it's going to be Bryce Young. We're still 2.5 weeks out, two weeks, two days out. I think this will change again.
I think it will too. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if we continue to head in the Bryce Young direction, at least for the next couple days, because he's visiting with the Panthers today.
I would not bet Bryce Young at this price. First of all, I'm a guy who has C.J. Stroud tickets,
yep,
plus 685, plus 340. But even if I am, it doesn't matter, like, who one thinks is better or not, right? I happen to think C.J. Stroud, it might be better, but so what? But I wouldn't bet Bryce Young at this price. I think it comes back down. I wonder if we will have a coin flip situation come Thursday, April 27th.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I think it will come back down, but I think it goes up over the next couple days just because people are going to see that he's visiting with the team, and that's going to get a bet out of that.
But think about that. That Mortensen thing, just one exchange like that caused this to begin. That's how sensitive all of this is. We'll come back. Nick Whalen on the play-in games and playoff series in the NBA next.